Okay, now it's time for coaching. Let's get to list of calls. Cindy, are you here? Raise your hand. Cindy, Nicole, Melissa, Laura, and Michelle. These were the ones. Cindy, are you here? I don't see Cindy Shell. All right, let's go with Nicole. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing really good. You're catching me at the end of, I've been talking for over 2 hours.
Have you really?
That's yeah. My mom always said I came out the womb talking.
Well, that's a coincidence because I've been listening to you for over 2 hours.
Thank you. There you go.
I was so nervous about this. I played podcasts all morning so that I would get used to hearing you and not think about the fact that I'm speaking with you live.
There you go. Well, what are we coaching on? Tell everybody.
Okay, so I am an April baby, and I have been working hard, and I've had a lot of successes and a lot of mistakes and a lot of plans and recovery worksheets, but I'm starting to notice some, like, waxes and wanes and, like, some themes that are, like, longer themes. Okay. And one of the things I've been noticing is that I feel like, well, I have noticed that when I am doing well with my weight loss, it's times... And I don't mean like in the moment, I mean like a period of weeks when I'm not feeling good about it. Like I'm feeling like it's not going well. I'm beating myself up. I'm, you know, not confident, not thinking it's going to work. And those are the times that I actually lose weight. And then the times when I am thinking, I got this, this is going well, I'm working hard, I'm doing my things, I'm doing all the things. Either one of two things happens. Either I get overconfident and take my foot off the gas and start having little quits and overeats and things like that.
Let me tell you this. We don't do little quits from confidence. That can't happen. There's always a thought.
About.
You think that's what's happening. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Because let me just explain this. If you think confidence means you're going to end up sabotaging, then every time something goes right, you're going to figure out a way to fuck it up. Mm-hmm. So is the problem that I'm overconfident, or is the problem I'm thinking I'm overconfident? Like, I'm a very overconfident person. Do you think that means I go out and fuck shit up?
No.
No. Why do I not fuck it up?
Because you are realistic about it and keep working.
No. I want you to think about, what are my thoughts about being overconfident? Let's put overconfident in the circumstance line.
Okay.
Friend's overconfident. And we're going to just give it. What do you think my thought about overconfidence is?
I don't know. That it's okay to be confident, but not overconfident.
What is wrong with overconfidence? Like, I want you to think about this concept. This is going to break your brain a little bit.
I think it might.
When somebody is overconfident, what does that really mean?
That they're confident in something that's not real, like they're believing in something that's past what's realistic.
No? Well, that's your definition. What do you think my definition would be?
Believing that it's really going to happen?
Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you what, if I had to choose between being underconfident and overconfident, which one do you think is going to get me to my goal?
Overconfident?
Yeah, because you have an abundant supply.
Yeah.
You're thinking overconfidence is a bad thing.
Yeah. And so that brings me to like the other thing that happens. Cause I've started noticing that. So then the next time I'm like feeling really good about it, like, you know, then I tend to go the other way where I'm like, okay, I'm doing really well at this. Well, maybe I can level up. Maybe I can eat less. Maybe I can wait longer. Maybe I can. And over the period of days, it's like, I push myself more. And then I end up having like an effort day and having to,
but you keep trying to attribute your action line mm-hmm. to like a circumstance. Like, you've got several things going on. Let me put it this way. You think your efforts and stuff have everything to do with you believing in yourself. versus your efforts have something to do with you not believing in yourself. Like, you think feeling really confident is a bad thing. So anytime you experience success, success always generates confidence in us. That's the way success works. So if you start experiencing success and in your brain it's like, oh no, you know, we're not supposed to be having a lot of success. We should just eat a little. Like, oh, that looks good. We've been doing well. I guarantee you those little quits aren't sitting there because you're just like, you know what? I am so amazing. I deserve this. Blah, blah, blah. Let's go eat.
But see, I think that's what I might be thinking. Like, I've been doing so well at this. I don't know.
That's the justification and the excuse, but that's not the reason. Okay. So I want everybody to understand this. I know that, like, I think I'm like way up here in the coaching right now. Let me bring you to where I'm at. We have the things we tell ourselves that is the last thing that we hear before we eat. Mm-hmm. That's not what drives the eat. Mm. It's the belief underneath that statement that generates that thought is what drives the eat.
Okay.
Okay. So this is like stuff I don't teach in module 4. Pay attention. So what you have is you have this, like, your belief is that you can get overconfident, which means that you're going to go off plan. And so if you're going to get overconfident, that means you have to build up good behaviors. Then suddenly there's a tipping point. You're going to go and look to prove that belief true. Mm-hmm. Rather than telling yourself, when I'm doing really well, there's no reason to quit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just happen to have an excuse or something that comes up and I go off plan. That doesn't mean I'm overconfident. It just means today I ate off plan. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need a deep-seated reason. The more you tie it to your confidence and, like, well, you know, here's how we lose weight. We're going to have to not feel so good. That's your answer right now. It's like, can you help me figure out how to just not feel good so I can lose all this weight? Mm-hmm. That's the way you're setting yourself up.
Okay. That makes sense.
So now what do you think the solution is? And yes, my boobs are lopsided and big today. They're swelled like you wouldn't believe. Sorry. I keep wanting to just lay them down. They're so swelled right now. I feel like I'm going to nerf something.
So painful. I can't even imagine.
They have been good until today and they have just been righteous. So,
oh gosh.
But what do you think your solution is?
Well, maybe like if I do have an overeater and off plan, to do more journaling about why that actually is and not let myself think that it's because I'm overconfident, find other reasons.
Yes. Because you wanted it in the moment.
Yeah.
You have to disassociate in your brain that when you feel good, it's why you end up overeating. That is like, guys, that is the most quickest way to hose yourself when it comes to weight loss. Because in order to get to your goal, you're going to have to experience a lot of success, a lot of feeling like you're doing it right, a lot of like this. And if you hold on to a belief, like, the problem is, Corinne, sometimes I just feel too good about the process. That's why I'm not losing weight. Like, no. Sometimes you overeat.
I knew that wasn't right. I just couldn't figure out what to do with it.
Yeah. You have to say, like, oh, the reason why I'm losing weight is not because I was so confident and feeling so good. It's because on this day, I wanted to eat this and forgot to remind myself of my goal. It's really that simple. Like, if we keep it simple and we don't orchestrate it to where we have to feel like shit in order to lose weight, we will get to the end. Otherwise, if you believe you have to feel like shit to get there, then you do start restricting and you start depriving. You start doing things in a really weird way. So you will tell yourself, I'm ready to level up. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do that. But you're secretly trying to make sure it's like, oh yeah, I've got to be like really hungry and not feel so good and all this other stuff in order to lose weight. That's what's going on beneath the surface. It's creating the effort moment. You'll push yourself at a better pace if you allow yourself to just know, when I'm confident, it's totally okay. It means things are going right. And then sometimes I will end up overeating, and that still means things are going right. The biggest problem I think a lot of you have is you make that moment when you overeat, even if it's 3 days in a row with no 24-hour plan, now I'm broken. Now something's gone wrong. It's like, no, it's 3 days of overeats and 3 days of no plan. What is next?
Okay. Yeah, I think that's interesting, because I guess I just maybe have a lot of thought work to do around allowing myself to feel good about it, because like what I was saying, like when I don't feel good about it, it's not that I'm like, I feel like that's when I do all the things well, like the realistic planning and the eating to my two and all of that. And
but maybe, why do you think you're doing it?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is like, I think because I've gotten rid of all the BS that comes from like feeling good. I don't know. Like I clearly have maybe some issue with that.
Let me ask you this though. Let's put your realistic plan, like when you're not feeling good and suddenly your actions are in alignment, what are you feeling when you're driving those actions? Why did you create those actions? Because think about like, put in your C line, either the weight went, does your weight go up when that happens?
When I'm not feeling good, but doing well with my basics.
Where you get back into action. Yeah.
That's when I'm losing weight, is when I'm not feeling good about it. And then I work harder on it. And then I actually,
there's no way that you can be sitting around and overeating and not create a model of I've gained weight.
No, I'm not overeating. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right. But I want you to stick with me. Just answer my questions. Don't try to like think about it. I've had a few days where I've ate off plan. That's not coming from feeling good about your weight loss journey.
Okay.
That's coming from feeling bad about success.
Right.
Like, I really need you to see this. I wish I had like a whiteboard. When, like, I want you to think about this. Like, what is your weight?
What is my weight right now?
Like, just give me an example weight.
Yeah. Right now I'm 173.
All right. So 173. And your thought is, confidence is a bad thing. Overconfidence makes me unsuccessful. How does that feel?
Not good.
Like what? Give me one.
Well, it feels like I don't want to feel that way the rest of my life. Like, I want to be confident.
Yeah, but what does it feel like? Give me one word. So when you think about overconfidence is a bad thing.
Disappointed.
Fearful?
Yeah.
When you start feeling overconfident, and when you're fearful, what do you start doing?
I don't know, messing it up. Yeah.
And then we get to underconfident.
Yeah.
Then we move to the next model.
Yeah.
So then your model becomes all of your mistakes. And then what is your thought? When you see those mistakes, what happens? You start thinking what?
Just that I need to work harder.
I need to get this shit straight. I need to work harder. And that feels what?
Well, that right now, that's what feels good to me, because then I feel like I have the motivation.
Just answer the one thing. It should feel good. I need to work harder. Feels what?
Feels motivating.
Does it feel motivating? Like when you see your scale, so we've got 173, tomorrow it's going to be 176. I need to work harder.
I guess disappointing, like disappointed in myself.
Yeah. And then what happens? So this is where your auto correction comes in.
Yeah.
Do you start making plans and doing things from a place of self-love, or do you construct things from a place of self-loathing and disappointment?
Yeah, the second one.
Okay. And then all you do is you create the result. You think the result is you start getting back on plan and everything goes right. The result is I'm hard on myself. You're learning how to lose weight by being hard on yourself.
Okay.
So what happens is when somebody has this mindset set up, If you keep doing it, then you're going to continue to be harder and harder and harder and experience less and less success. And it's going to be harder to get there. You just need to flip your thinking. You need to restructure your belief system around it's you're not fucking up because you're overconfident. You're fucking up because you think confidence is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting back on plan because you need to be hard on yourself. You're just creating a hard way to lose weight doing it this way. Mm-hmm. So it's like from now on, all I want you to do is when you go off your plan, I want you to be very realistic about it and just like, I ate off plan. Mm-hmm. This is not because I'm too confident. This is because I ate off plan and I'm just going to figure out what to do better next time. I may need to be more mindful of my excuses and my justifications, mm-hmm. but this doesn't shake my confidence anymore. I know I can figure it out.
Yeah.
It's a way better story. And then you don't have to go through these cycles of like, well, you know what I got to do? The first thing I have to do is like, sit here and beat myself up a little bit. And I got to like make sure that I can't be successful. And then the second thing I got to do is I got to be hard on myself and teach myself the lesson of losing weight has to be painful so that I can create a more painful process for myself. Mm-hmm. Then your level ups and stuff, you'll start doing it for the right reason.
Okay.
Listen to this like 5 times, seriously.
Yeah, I definitely need to listen to it again.
I want to tell everyone, this is a really good call because a lot of you think confidence, like, I don't want to feel too good because every time I feel really good, I end up messing up. Guys, mess ups come along the entire process of weight loss. Sometimes they happen when we're hard on ourselves and sometimes they happen when we're doing really well. They're just part of the process. They don't mean anything about you. You're making it mean something about you. Like, I don't deserve to feel good while I lose the weight. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see who's next. Cindy, did you ever get here? Cindy Shell. All right, Melissa, you're up next.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, wait.
Oh, you got all the echo.
Let me turn this off. Okay.
I don't know if I turned on the right. Oh, she turned on. Let me turn. I'll call you on the other one. Okay. Are we ready?
Can you see me?
Not yet.
Oh, I see.
It's coming. Okay. All right. Okay. What are we coaching on?
Oh. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Well, the last caller, you covered so much of the similar thing. I know I have a similar history with that. But I've been in the tribe a while and I know you have talked about this before. But what I wrote was that I notice a pattern that I have. It's like a similar cycle, but I'm noticing my thoughts around it. And I have like, I still have a judgment thoughts about myself and my thoughts. And it's hard to tease out that and intentionally think a new thought because I don't always realize it at the time. I realize it after.
Okay. So what's the problem with that? Why not just have the negative thoughts?
Because I don't think it helps me. Then it's kind of like a time waster because when I have the negative thoughts and I feel bad about myself, that's gonna
that's because you're not just having negative thoughts, you're feeling negative thoughts.
Right,
the
right
difference
right.
between someone who feels negative thoughts and someone who has negative thoughts.
I feel it and then I see it after. I'm like, oh, and then I can see it, but at the time I'm feeling that I don't necessarily know I'm having.
You don't know what?
I don't, or maybe I'm just having the thought. I'm just having the negative, judgy thought.
Why do you care? Like, this is, like, I really want you to think about this, and a lot of you. Y'all spend so much time worrying and caring about negative thoughts.
Yeah.
Could you imagine what your life would be like if you just said, you know what? Sometimes I'm going to think some shit. That's all right. I'm just going to go about my day. I can't even get busy writing that kid's book. Telling some shit. Well, I know what your big thing is, right? Like trying to earn money.
And I've been doing a lot better, believe it or not. I did this self-love course again, and that was really helpful. And I got this book that you recommended.
Oh, good. That's a good one.
It's really good. I have to do, I'm doing it very slowly because there's so much in there. But
that's good.
So that is actually helping me to recognize, oh, yeah, I'm doing that thing again.
So what, like.
Sometimes it's okay.
When it's not okay, why is it not okay to just be like, oh, yeah, that's just me. I caught myself beating myself up again. Moving on. I don't need to go do models. I just need to know that that's my thing that I do sometimes. And now moving on, I know what I need to be doing. That's really clear.
Right. Okay. It's the moving on part. I guess I'm holding on. I hold on to it.
Why? Tell me the upside and I'll let you keep it.
It's easier because I don't have to work. Obviously, it's a habit, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to sit around and beat yourself up and so that you don't have to like put yourself out to the world and risk rejection, there's an upside, except you don't ever get further in the world either.
Right.
There's the downside.
Yeah, but it's so tiring. I mean, it really is constant. But I guess if you push it, you just push it away, then...
I'm not even asking you to push it away. There's a difference when we're like, oh, negative thought, get out. I can't have you.
That's right. Moving along.
It can do something, but it's like sometimes shit's going wrong in the business. I catch myself spiraling. I'm just sitting here like, oh, doo-doo thought. And then I'm just like, okay, like we're not doing that today. We have stuff to do. The calendar clearly says we have things to do. Let's start doing our work again. That's because I don't care anymore that I have them. What I've realized is that I spent a lot of time trying to figure out models to make me feel good. So then I could start doing models to make me be productive. Or what I could do is just have this model that's just like incoming bullshit. Learn, like I'm very familiar. A lot of times I know the thoughts before I have to feel them now. Because I have done so much journaling, so much writing, and just paying attention to it. So some of them are just a collection of things. I'm just like, I don't even need to feel it. Like, that's just crap. Like, when I look at my legs and my brain goes to, oh, they're so lumpy and they're so old lady and stuff, I don't go do a model. Ever. I don't even do one in my head. I'm like, that's a waste of time. These sticks are coming along for the ride no matter what you think. So we might as well keep working out. And get into our shorts. You know, that's it. I have some that like are about myself and I feel not good enough. And I can tell I have this heavy feeling in my body because I've gotten really good at it, at noticing when I start feeling that way. And I'm just like, oh, you're just not feeling good enough right now. It's okay. Sometimes we don't feel good enough. Like I'm compassionate with myself about it. Mm-hmm. I don't need to necessarily go do a model and stuff. I don't need to do a model about my thoughts and feelings until I'm face down in ice cream about it. Until I'm actually causing myself damage.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
Save models for that part. But the rest of it, I want you to think about, when you think about your negative thoughts, give me a percentage out of 100%, how many of them are worth trying to do a lot of work on, and which ones are you think are just like, you know, it's just part of Melissa. This is just what I do. It's all right.
Give you a number?
Yeah. You just take a wild ass guess.
Probably 80%.
80% are not even worth worrying about. Now, could you imagine if you just stopped worrying about all of them? Like, you just really, like 20%.
I try to imagine that, yeah.
I think that's what your brain needs to go to work on.
It feels good.
Yeah, like imagining, like, what would life, let me just visualize.
What if I wasn't stressed out all the time? What would that be like? Yeah.
Yeah. What if I, like, didn't get worked up because I had a damn negative thought today about myself? What if I just was like, oh, okay. It's one of those days where a lot of negative thoughts are going to come in and I'm just going to be like, and it's all right. Like, I think that's one of the most effective models that we have. It's all right.
Okay. Well, whenever the good thing about the eating thing is, though, that is a gateway into seeing. Like, that's always been when I stop, and because that's something I'm trying to figure out still. So
I think when you're eating, I think that is like a signal. Cause like, do you overeat or do you binge? I can't remember which one.
Yeah, I do both.
Okay. So
I haven't in a while. I'm binging, but I do overeat. And I noticed that I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yeah. So I think you drop the judgment of the overeating first. You just decide, like, why am I judging myself for overeating? How pointless is it? What if I just go to work on wondering why I'm overeating?
Well, so I did, and I've written about that. And I think I noticed I still have a part of me that wants to enter, like, I see it as a form of entertainment. And I'm like, why do I even think that? So that's like judging that. But,
well, I'd answer the question. Why do I think eating when I should be working is entertaining? I mean, it probably is entertaining, but why do I allow myself to believe it's entertaining? Why don't I just start telling myself when I'm eating instead of working? I don't know what you're supposed to be doing when you're eating, but whether you're eating to and you're supposed to be relaxing, or you're eating and you're supposed to be talking to your husband, or eating.
No, it's just overeating now sometimes it is when I just need a break, and I know I just need a break, but
I would ask myself in a compassionate way, I wonder why I chose eating instead of the break this time. And don't allow yourself to just stop with, oh, that's entertainment eating. Don't classify it. Mm-hmm. Just be like, really, why? Why was taking a break? Like, why was eating more important than actually taking a break? Why was it easier to eat than it was to sit with myself and take a break is a really good question. For a lot of us, like, that is the like golden question. Why was eating easier than being with myself in my work project, being with myself alone in the car, being with myself and my husband, being with myself and my children, being with myself at 9 o'clock at night with no one?
Well, part of it is habit too.
Part of it's habit, but I think the greater question is, why are you hanging on to it?
Right.
Because the only way to break a habit, guys, the only way to really break a habit is the one in which you replace it has to be enjoyable. You're not going to break a habit. Like, eating is enjoyable. No one is sitting around going, oh my God, I got this eating habit and it sucks and I never even like it. And I eat like 3 bags of broccoli. Nobody ever says that. Like, when people are overeating, they're eating shit they enjoy. They're looking for what they want. Uh-huh. There is always entertainment. There is always, it tastes good involved in it, almost always. And so you have to think about, like, all right, if it's purely just habit, you got to break the habit and you got to replace it with something that you'll enjoy. So if it's going to be like a break, you have to enjoy the break. If you don't like being alone yet, you need to figure out, all right, what is the conversation that I'm having with myself when I'm alone? Am I sitting around self-loathing? Then I need to go to work on that self-loathing without food, not just figuring out like a new habit or, you know, whatever.
That makes sense. Sometimes I'm able to break habits just by not doing it. So
yeah,
I think it's a combination of both of those things.
most people are going to break, like if you break one habit, it's usually most habits, the way they work is when one habit's broken, another one gets formed. There's like a void. Like you, like most of us don't break a habit.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, all right, now I just sit in stone cold silence. Even that would be habit. Like the new habit is rather than eating, I would just sit at my desk and stare at a monitor and do nothing. So there's, you always want to be thinking about when one habit goes away, it's because a new one has been being conditioned and formed in the brain to replace and retire this one.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, I have so many different instances, so many different triggers that it's different areas of, like sometimes it's that, or sometimes it's just cooking dinner, which I've broken that habit, but
yeah,
you know, different situations that have the common theme of overeating, but maybe the feeling is different.
Yeah.
So
cut some judgment out.
I know.
Move on. Don't judge thoughts. Just notice them. Don't give them extra oxygen. Just be like, of course. Like that's what I tell myself all the time. I'm just like, most of the time I just laugh at myself. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe you just thought that. That's crazy. And I laugh about it. Like, I don't like say like, that's crazy. You must be broken. All these right. things. Like, no, that's crazy. That's hilarious. You should go tell your friends that you just thought this. We should all get a collective laugh about it. All right, lady.
Okay. Thank you.
Good seeing your face.
You too. Bye.
Okay. Cindy, did you ever come? Laura, you're next. Guys, just so you know, I only call on the people that got on the list. So if you have your hand up, the only other person who's on the list is Michelle Perlick. She was a maybe. And Kathleen, if Michelle's not here, I'll take you. Kathleen Presnowski. So here's how you get on calls, guys, just in case you're wondering. You, every Sunday, we send out the Massive Action Line. So when you get the Massive Action Line and you want to get on one of my calls for the week, all you have to do is reply to that email and Sadie will put you, she will get all your information and stuff so that you can be on the call. All right, Laura, I asked you to start your video. There you are.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. You look good for just having surgery.
Thanks. I'm doing good. I'm a week out, so I'm not too bad. It's just, they said it would be a few weeks. Like I'd have a day where they swell and a day they wouldn't. Like today, they're not only swell, but I don't know if you guys can tell, like this one's riding high. Like still kind of way up in here. And I'm like, you need to lower for next week. We're taking a lot of pictures at camp and I don't need like boobs like
that. I love it. So we're coaching on, I've been overeating a lot. I've been either off plan or blowing past my two.
Okay.
Blowing past my two has gotten a lot better. I started in June.
Okay.
But why
has it gotten better?
Because I've dialed it in.
Okay, good. You've been paying attention and doing all that kind of stuff. Good. Yeah. Doing it right.
But the off plan eats, and I don't know if they're binges, but for example, the other day I had nuts on my plan and I like the Trader Joe's packaged nuts.
Yeah.
And I didn't just eat one package. I ate like four.
Okay.
So
I just call it an overeat. I just call that an overeat.
That's an overeat. See, when I do that, I'll just for 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, I'll just eat whatever I can get my hands on. So
is it whatever you can get your hands on, or is it just, I want more nuts?
No, more nuts was sort of an anomaly, but no, it's like cereal or.
Tell me like, well, and I don't know that it matters. I mean, like usually I coach binge eaters and overeaters just almost exactly the same. The biggest thing that the differentiates that this is my opinion, this is not clinical. So, you know, don't think you're going to go to the DSM and read this definition. This is Corinne's vast experience of coaching for years and years and years, lots of people. The biggest differentiator that I see with binging and overeating is binging, typically it's greater volumes of food accompanied with shame. Sometimes people just overeat and they're just like me, was never a binge eater, but I ate a lot. That's the way my family was raised. We were always taught, if you go to the buffet, you do not leave until your eyes are rolling in the back of your head. Like, we were like, get your money's worth, everyone. And we ate till we were sick. I can't even tell you how many times we'd be driving home and I would literally almost be ready to throw up. And it wasn't because we were binging. That to us, it was clearly getting our money's worth. And I did that for years. But I didn't have shame around it, and I didn't do it in secret. So binge eating typically is great amounts of food. I rarely hear of a binge eater who binges with anyone else around. They're typically doing it in secret, and they're very ashamed of their habit. Whereas overeaters might be ashamed of it, but they're like, oh no, like I'm like me and my husband are doing it, you know, like, or it's always with my mother, or, you know, when I go out, that's when I way overeat. So that's kind of the difference. So which one do you think you fall into?
More of a binge. I'm ashamed. I do it after everybody goes to bed. I do it when my husband's not home. My son is the only one that's ever seen me do it. But no, more of a binger, but I'm reading that book, Mind Over Binge.
Yeah. Brain Over Binge.
Book. Yeah. Brain Over Binge. Such a good book.
Yes. Very
and, I mean, she could eat like 8,000 calories in a binge. I'm not, is there degrees? I don't know.
No, not really. I have a friend who's a clinical binge eater who she can put down the 8,000 too. I don't think it matters the like the calories. It's the boring part, or the amount is really the boring part. It is the self-loathing,
yes,
shame, and the hiding part. That is like the differentiator, and that is the harder part, because it's like, that is what we really like, we want to work on, because that's what feels right. Like, you know, you take like my son, he can eat at night. On some nights he'll sit down there and he's just going to town at the island. I'm sure he puts down 3,000 or 4,000 calories, and there is no shame in his game. You know, that's the difference. He feels really good about the amount of calories he's eating. You're feeling like womp, womp, you know, that's why we know like that quantity. It's part of like the diagnosis, but to me, it's the most uninteresting part. What I'm interested in is, why are you doing it to yourself? Because it obviously creates so much pain for you.
So much pain.
Yeah.
A lot of pain.
Why are we doing it?
It's to buffer. It's so that I don't feel the feels. It's
what feelings are you going to have to feel in order to, and you're binging at night primarily?
Primarily. Okay. I'll do it during the day too at work. I work from home. So
I usually tell people like, start with one of the times. Like, rather than like, I'm going to try to do all the binges and stuff. I just am a big believer in like, let's just focus in on the one that you really want to dial in. Because if you work on the one area and you kind of give yourself the like, that, like not the pressure of having to address it all. She's like, I'm just going to really dial in here and figure out what's happening, why it's happening, what are my triggers, then going into the practice phase, ending the shameful phase, all that kind of stuff. It's easier if you know, like, and tonight, if I choose to binge, it will be a choice. It's like, you're going to learn first. It never happens to me, and it's never automatic ever again. I am always just going to take ownership. Sometimes it will feel automatic. Like, Permi is on this call. She's a girl I've coached a lot with binge eating over the years. Whether it feels automatic and feels true to you, you cannot afford to think that's happening. It just, if the moment you feel like, the moment you allow yourself to keep thinking and believing that it's happening to you, is the moment you'll never see why it's really happening.
Okay.
If you don't know why in the circumstances around it and stuff, then it's really hard to gain authority over it. Your brain has to just think that part.
So think about why I want.
Yeah, like I would do it like before a binge, like not when you're having the urges, but like even with me right now, you want to work on the night or you want to work on the work time?
Night.
All right. So it's when's your typical time, your window?
After everybody goes to bed, like 9, 9:30.
9 or 9:30, all right? And then you like to start eating?
Yes, I like to start eating.
And what is that experience like? You start thinking what?
I just start thinking about the food that I want, whether it's cereal or peanut butter and toast or granola bars or whatever we have in the house. So I just start thinking, I want a bowl of cereal.
So you know that that's your big cue. So like your brain's cue is a certain time of night, and then the thoughts are the ones that start coming in. So that is really good awareness to be able to understand, like, this is what I call the process part of the binge. Like, we're going to get into the why we're binging, but one of the things that I think is really beneficial for bingers and overeaters, you guys, you absolutely can plug and play all this into your stuff. Knowing, like, just this is why we do the recovery worksheets, knowing that it's usually at night, it's after everyone goes to bed, so I know that some of my times where I'm going to need to be extra aware of what's going on in my head will always be at night when everybody goes to bed. I don't need to be anxious about it. I need to start listening. I need to start being aware of everything I think. Because what's happening right now, you're going to be able to tell me a few things you think. There's probably a lot more. And if you're going to be just listening without trying to stop the binge at first, you're going to hear more. And you're going to get more awareness. And what I want you to do is not judge it. I just want you to be really good at why is this happening. So you know the time, you know what you, like, your signal is I start cycling through all I can eat. And then you start feeling what?
Anxious.
Why do you feel anxious?
Because I don't want to binge, but I know I'm going to. Okay. And sometimes if I sit through them during the day, I can tell when I sit through them during the day that it will come out at night. Yeah. Is that a thought? But that seems to be what.
It's a thought. And it's just one to notice that you have. It's not one that you have to shut down immediately. You just need to, like, oh, for some reason, I tend to think that if I don't respond to an urge during the day, then I start thinking that must be what's going to happen tonight. A lot of, like, a work around binging is going to be at first talking about your thoughts of, I notice I'm thinking these things. Because usually what you guys are doing is saying, and I, like, all of a sudden I'm just eating, or like, I just know I'm going to eat. And you say it like it's factual. You've got to, like, start turning on to your brain that this isn't what's going to happen. This is just what I'm thinking.
Well, that's how I used to be before PNP. It used to just happen to me. Oh, so many changes, but I'm way, 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 way more aware of what's going on now.
Okay. So you get anxious. Mm-hmm. You said why? Because you start thinking,
I don't want to do this, but I know I'm going to.
What if you just said, rather than, I know I want to do this, but I'm not going to? It's not that you don't want to.
Oh, that's a big switch, isn't it?
What it does.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, well, I think sometimes we're afraid to admit we actually want to eat, that if we admit we want to eat, then that must mean we're going to eat. No, it means we're being truthful. Sure. It just means I'm being truthful with myself, which is a way more compassionate way to talk to yourself rather than, like, I don't really want to eat. And your brain's like, liar. We just sat here and thought about cookies and cereal. Are you kidding me? Of course we want to eat. That's when your brain is like, send in the cortisol, please. She needs anxiety. We've got to go do this.
Oh, that was really enlightening.
I'm going to tell you, Laura, though, that's not going to solve the problem. You're not going to sit there and be like tonight, like, I'm so ready. I'm going to tell myself I want it. And all of a sudden I'm not going to eat. No, that's not how it works. You're just not going to feel as lit up to eat because you're changing the conversation a little bit. When you start changing the conversation a little bit, you allow your conscious brain to kind of start getting involved. Right now, you fighting your urges and getting worked up is your habit.
Okay.
That's not probably the conscious part.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Talking compassionately to yourself is going to be the harder part. and the conscious part that you have to turn on. So like, you're going to want to think, we don't want to do this. And you're like, you know what? That's bullshit. Absolutely want to eat. That shit tastes good. Like it, like I know what it's like,
mm-hmm.
but what I don't know what it's like is to sit here without it and to see what life might be like in 3 weeks without it. Maybe it'll be as pleasurable as it is to eat sometimes. Like just allowing yourself to like think outside of your norm sometimes is super helpful with these binges. And I will, but I just want you to know, like the first real stage of this is listening for all the things you think, writing them down, and then allowing yourself to like, is there a better way to talk to myself about this? Is there an alternate way to talk to myself about this? And sometimes, guys, the best thing you can do for your binging is going to be to do this process where you write some stuff and then allow yourself to go eat after. So like, you know what? You can go eat, but let's just at least know why we're doing it today so that tomorrow when we decompress this and we like process it, I know what I was thinking. I know all of these things. I gave myself a pause and I can really start working on this rather than feeling defeated by it and worrying about it.
Nice. Okay. That feels manageable.
Yeah. I wouldn't do anything else other than that for right now.
Okay.
I literally wouldn't. I think you'll find that when you start doing stuff like this, you start unraveling it some and it starts figuring out. The only thing I caution everyone on is when you do this, you're still going to binge. You're still going to have trigger moments. You're still going to have knee-jerk reactions. Don't freak out that it's not working. It's just part of the process. If you keep reminding yourself, this is not because I can't solve it or that I'm broken or I'm defeated or this isn't working. It's because I just need to keep going. I just need to keep questioning it. I just need to keep looking at it. And eventually the solution presents itself. And because if you keep in that space, you will come up with more ideas than you ever will when you're wearing that shame shawl like it's a job.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Do this for like a month and then see if you can get on a coaching call. Now, if you can't get on one with me, get into the office hours and tell them where you're at with the process.
Okay.
From there, from what you've learned over the month. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good call, lady.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That was a good call. Kathy said she was listening, Laura, and that she'll watch. Do I have Kathleen or Michelle? Is that who I have left? Michelle is on. I don't see Michelle's hand up. I see Lee Shells. I guess that's Michelle. Susan, the action that she's doing this month, her action is actually going to be listening for how she's thinking and talking differently to herself during the process. And then before she binges at night, she's going to write a little bit about what she's been thinking and feeling. And then she has permission to eat if she wants, but she's at least going to spend like 2 to 3 minutes just jotting down what she's observed. We're flipping the script of rather than saying, I don't want to eat and arguing with it. We're just going to write down some stuff of what we're currently thinking and observe it. And then she can go back later, like the next day, and write alternate ways to think about it, if that helps. All right. What are we coaching on? Welcome to the call, Michelle.
Hey.
Hey.
So I'm a September baby, just started, and I felt like things are going really well for me. I felt like I had a great day. Like I did all the things and it felt so good. And I felt so good last night, you know, and I made my plan. I followed my plan, drank my water, did all the things. Got to dinner last night, ate my dinner that I had planned, and I ate over a little, but one of the things I know that I have a tendency to want to do is to clean my plate. So I made a point to have my son take my plate away. Like, I had him take it to the kitchen, go put it away. I got up, I walked away from the table. I didn't go into the kitchen so I wouldn't be tempted. My husband and I went for a walk. I mean, like, it was just such a good night and I felt so good. So fast forward a little bit, and came time that I had to go clean the kitchen. I had to go put dinner away, and there's dirty plates with crap on them. And honest to God, I picked. I ate, and I was so frustrated with myself. And I kept trying to hear your voice be like, okay, what are you feeling? What are you thinking right now? And I pretty much came up with nothing in the moment. I was like, okay. And in my thought download that I did later, I began to think, well, it's probably, maybe it was some habit. And so that's not really what has me upset. I mean, I know I did a little picking, a little binging, but this is new and this is something I've always done. Where my problem came in is a little bit later, it was like someone took and dumped a dump truck worth of boulders of shit on me. Like, I literally beat myself down to the ground about how I screwed up. I mean, we're talking 3 to 4 bites of food, how I screwed up, how I was worthless, how I was going to blow this, how I just needed to slink away. How I have started this really great accountability group that I love the girls. They're so awesome. How I was just going to disappear, that I just wasn't going to.
Can you pick some food? I love how we do that to ourselves. It's like, oh my God, I changed so many things, but by God, I picked some food off some plates and now I should quit my accountability group.
I know.
That's obvious to solve.
Stupid. It was so stupid. And so, like, I finally just put myself to bed. Honestly, I put myself to bed. I'm like, go to bed, you know, deal with this tomorrow. And I did own it to my accountability group this morning. Good. And it was so, yeah, I did. And it was so, one of the girls was like, holy shit, Michelle, you would have thought you shot JFK or something. I mean, like, it was like so dramatic. And I guess what I'm hoping maybe for some help for is, how do I interrupt that drama? How do I
ask you this? What do you think you should have done? Like if you were going to just pretend for a hot second you couldn't get on a call with me, all right?
Well, I guess
rather than wanting me to tell you what to do, what if we just allow you to just say, like, you know what, here's what I learned about yesterday. So tell me, what did you learn about yesterday?
Well, I learned that I'm really mean to myself, number one, that I would never treat anybody else that way, and that I need to work on that. But what I did do is I did do a thought download, and I did dig out the well, it was probably a habit. I needed to forgive myself a little bit there. I also realized that's when I really needed my accountability group. So, I mean, go to them. But in the moment, I don't know. I guess maybe the moment is now that I need to let that shit go and just keep
you. Here's what you need to learn from it. One, you can figure out how to, like, flip the script on what happened yesterday quite easily on your own. You just did it. It's like, well, here's the things I learned. Here's the things I'd like to change for next time. I don't have to make it so dramatic. It wasn't really that dramatic. It's a funny story now. You get to tell yourself all of that. And when you do that piece, the next time this happens, there will be that going on again. And you'll be like, oh, this is just like the last time when I was making this a big fucking deal. You know what? We're not making it a big deal. So I know one of the things I do is pick. And I will be more aware of that the next time. Like, you just, if you keep just allowing yourself to be observant of what happened, and what you need to work on, then each time it happens, you get better and better and better in those moments. But guys, this is what most of you want to have happen. I recognize all this, Corinne. How do I dead stop so I never have to make another mistake like that again? Yeah. The only reason why you wouldn't want to ever pick food again is because you judge yourself so harshly for it. If you didn't judge yourself really harshly for it, you'd be willing to pick food until you got to the point where you didn't have that habit anymore. And it would be as boring as that. Mm-hmm. But for most of us, we can't stand P&P's four basics. You know why? They're too fucking boring. So you know what we got to do? We got to junk the system up. It's like, Corinne, you got them four basics, but you know what? That's trash. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to act like a shit show every time I make a mistake because that's where the excitement's going to come in. Uh-huh. Y'all need to be watching yourselves. This happens a lot.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yes. And I think for me too, because I like to laugh, to be able to look back when I have that moment and rather than get dramatic, laugh at myself a little, you know, and just say, you're doing it again. Yeah. Don't do that.
Like I would just be like, oh, is this one of those moments where I'm just supposed to quit my accountability group again because I'm picking food off 3-hour old plates? Oh yeah, that makes total sense. I can't wait to tell the girls.
So awesome. Okay, so just
you're doing just the drama. Like literally, you're doing so much better. Like in my mind, the way you described it, I was like, oh yeah, she's really got this. I was all in with you. With even up through the picking until it went to now I'm a complete failure. Except I will tell you, there was a smoke signal. Mm-hmm. You told me about all the good things and you said, and then I blew it all away.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you didn't. You don't blow it all away until you've decided none of that deserves any credit. Could you imagine?
It was a good day. It still was a good day. And today is
an amazing day because you know what it taught you? How to be on the lookout for your own drama. That's what that was the lesson it was supposed to teach you. To now to start being aware of when you're creating unnecessary drama for yourself. Because if you're doing it with food, like guys, if you're hard on yourself, you're probably hard on yourself in a lot of different areas of life and you're creating unnecessary drama there too. Be aware of all of it.
Yeah. It's funny, I don't think of myself being particularly dramatic, but clearly I am sometimes.
Maybe just a little. Like, do you have kids? You have kids. Yeah, you said you had your son. How old is your son? Yeah.
He's 12, going to be 13.
Yeah, that'd be like him coming home being like, I got everything on the test right except for that one thing. All mm-hmm. that studying was for nothing. Like, I only got a 99. I'm a terrible human being. Like, I should quit school. I'm going to become a garbage man. If you like have me. Like, could you imagine if your son came in and said that you would be like, did you do drugs at school? You obviously did drugs at school today.
Like, what the heck? Give yourself a break. Yeah.
Wait, give yourself a break.
Okay. Awesome.
All right. Bye.
All right.
I have a few questions and I want to, somebody's head's like on the test analogy. It is so true though. Like I always love, if you will just, guys, I promise you, you can do this and it helps a lot. So for those of you who are overly dramatic about your overeating and binging and stuff, write it how you describe it to yourself. Like it was like, I don't even deserve people's love. Like all those things that you guys say. And then insert something silly like, my child came home and got all A pluses and an A minus. Or my child has been struggling in math and they got another C. And then read it from their perspective as if they came and told you that shit. It allows your brain to be like, fuck me, man. I would never want them like describing it that way. If you wouldn't want somebody else describing it that way, it clearly shows it won't benefit you to continue to describe it that way. I'm a June baby struggling with realistic planning. I've been doing some version of Weight Watchers or Whole30 for several years. I've not lost any weight since June and seem to be on an upswing. I'm worried it's because I'm planning the foods I want to eat instead of the options I relied on for Weight Watchers and Whole30. Is it normal to gain a little weight when starting this process? By the way, I know I have to do some work on the hunger scale too. If you've been overly depriving on those programs for a long time, you weren't losing weight. You were in deprivation mode. All right. I want you to like think about the difference. Like if you were doing all of that and you weren't liking it, the result you were getting was not weight loss. The result you were getting on was hanging on tooth and nail, hoping and praying you didn't gain weight. That's all that was really happening over there. You just taught yourself to do things that you don't really enjoy. So now what you're doing is you're planning. So here's what you can do. You can add in a few of those foods back in and then add in a few of the things that you want. But if your weight is going up, then I would look at making sure that your hunger scale is totally in check. You might want to like like, and I will say, like, if you have been doing Whole 30 and you've been eating really like low carb and all that stuff, guys, you will gain some weight, but it's not fat. The problem with Whole 30 and the keto and stuff is that although it works for some people in terms of their health and whatnot, but the one of the unintended things that you guys don't really understand that's happening metabolically on the inside is that you lose a lot of the fluids that your muscles store from having carbohydrates and things like that. And so if you have been denying yourself that, and then you add those back in, your body recalibrates those fluids. You're supposed to have them for good bone development and good muscle tone for the rest of your life, okay? So you might gain 4 or 5 pounds of that fluid. Now, that fluid in your muscle does not look like fat on your ass. You may not even notice it on your body, but if you're overeating, like let's say you've been doing Whole 30 and Weight Watchers, and now all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm planning cheeseburgers and I'm planning this. You are planning what you want to eat and you may gain weight, but that's because you started with something. Like if you are eating really, let's say, healthy on those, you want to add some stuff in, add in some things, but maybe like don't add in all the things. So what I would do is I would just kind of like look at it, put what you've been eating and ask coaches. And let's just look at it, but just make sure you're actually getting hungry before you eat. You're stopping when you're satisfied. I'd always start with that first. And then you can put in to ask coaches, here are the foods that I've been eating. Is there anything that you would say is going to help me or not help me or whatever? And like maybe I need to like, and what you can do is you actually can go through it all of that May and be like, is there some things that I've like added that I want, but I could realistically do without? I kind of like, cause this is the other thing that happens is when people have been denying themselves the thing, like they've only been like dieting from a place of fear and a place of worry with their food. And now they're going to add things back in. Sometimes we over index. So we're like, well, I'm going to add all the things back in. You may have a few things that you're like, you know what? The end of the day, I don't really need all the things. Here are the things. So I definitely want to build back into my lifestyle. I've been in the tribe since April. I was immediately overwhelmed with all that extra information and never opened much anymore until today because I was searching for info on being overwhelmed. I was doing so great in the free group with 4 basics. Finally, in July, I decided to just go back to doing the 4 basics and I started losing weight again. So I'm pretty happy with just that. And I just kept paying because I'm grateful, although it is a lot for me. Where is the info I need? Eva, what I would do, this is the thing you've got to differentiate. You're not overwhelmed because of what you see. You're overwhelmed by what you think about what you see. So you haven't gone through those lessons yet. Here's what I would do. I would go to pnptribe.com. There is a button that says no BS weight loss. Click on it. Go to the very first lesson. It's called Fresh Start. Just click on that. Watch the first lesson. Watch them one at a time. You will learn all of your 4 basics on a deeper level. You will learn more about yourself on a deeper level. You never have to be in the Facebook group. You found this call, so you know I did that till week 3. Okay, go back. Either re-listen to those or go to week 3 and just keep plugging away. Just one video at a time. That's all you need to do is one video at a time. You can listen to these replay calls if you want to. That's it. There's no, like, it's no more complicated than that. Tell me if there's anything else. Like, I'm watching the comments right now. I am here whenever I can. That's fine. That's what most people do. Eva, here's the deal. Like, we put out a lot of calls and stuff because there's a lot of people who want to listen to every single call. The majority of our clients never attend live. Like 80% of the tribe never attends these calls live. 20% of the people attend a live call. And our members stay on the average 17 months. So over 17 months, 20% of those people attend a live call. What most of them do is they cherry pick, like they just, what's the latest call? Push play. And I just listen to the replay on my private member podcast, or I push play on the website You can just go to video replays. It'll say latest calls. You don't even have to go through categorizing them. You can just listen to one just like this and just enjoy whatever presents itself for the day. That is what I do when I food prep. So take that exact mindset you have with food prep and just be like, the way we like to describe it, Eva, is P&P. I don't know if you have Netflix in Spain. I don't really like, this is where I'm going to show my ignorance. You probably do, but I don't know. I'm sure you have libraries in Spain. Think about P&P as like a library. People don't walk into the library and be like, fuck me. Look at all these books. How will I ever get through them all? I thought I was just going to come and get one. I guess I got to read them all. We don't do that. So P&P is kind of like going to the library of weight loss education, and you're going to educate yourself one book at a time, just one book at a time, and picking out the things that are so, so, so valuable to you. We're going to get info about camp. Is that different from the week with Corinne? Camp is different than the week with Corinne. Corinne is a whole week. Camp is a three-day weekend with 350 of your besties. Camp, the 6 days with me, we will not have more than 70 people. Like, that is the max. And we will be spending 6 days together working on just weight loss. Like, it's all weight loss, binging, overeating, all the things. You can go to pnptribe.com. And if you go to events, if you look at the little three lines on your phone, or if you're you click on that, go to events, all the events are there with all the information for every single one of them. So you can just click on each one to see, you know, what is this one about? What is this one about? All the information is there. Or if you're on your desktop, you can just click on events at the top of the menu. Is there a cost for these coaching sessions? Nope. These are all included in your membership. So whenever I'm live, guys, this is all part of your membership. You don't have to pay for this stuff. You're already paying for it just being a member. So people just, what they do is every Sunday you get a Massive Action Line newsletter in your email. So if you're not getting that, make sure you email support at pnptribe.com. And then you can see which calls I'm available for the week. And all you do is you reply to the email if you want to get coached. You reply if there's an opening and you tell them your problem and we pick you, and there you go. That's it. You're very welcome, Sophia. Glad. I'm a September baby and I've been getting on well, but I've noticed I keep overeating and binging each week on a Wednesday when I'm alone. I think it's because I'm scared of the scale. Should I avoid weighing on Friday? No, you should learn to be confident with the scale on Friday by continuing to weigh every single week. And then on Wednesday, it's been like, I refuse to be scared of the scale. You know what I'm going to do? This is what I tell myself, Saba. Every time I weigh in, I say, this is an opportunity to love myself. That's all we're doing. We're collecting our data and we're going to love ourselves. That puts me in the mindset of listening for the things that aren't loving and reminding myself, nope, we love ourselves. Nope, we love ourselves. What are we learning? What are we learning? Someone who loves themselves wants to improve themselves. Someone who loves themselves is always on the lookout for learning how to either be a better version of themselves, how to love themselves more, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I would do. I would never stop weighing. Stopping weighing on Fridays does not stop you from binging on Wednesdays. You'll find another reason. You need to work on your binges on Wednesdays. You can tell yourself, this has nothing to do with Friday. This has everything to do with being uncomfortable right now. And listen, I think you were here, so probably some of the other calls probably helped a little bit, I hope. We talked about binging in two of them. Seems to me that PNP Tribe is life coaching for people who have weight issues. Is that right? Not just weight loss coaching, but actually life coaching. So once we get a handle on the weight loss basics, then the bonus stuff is to help us with life in general. Very much so. So yeah, so I'm a believer, guys, and this is the last question, then we're getting out of here. I'm a believer that the reason why we are overweight is because of our life's problems. We just tend to eat to cope with them. That's usually why most of us are overweight. And our life's problems aren't that our life is a shit show. Sometimes it's, you know, as a life coach, we help you get to where you want to go because you don't necessarily know how to get there yet. You've never lost your weight before. Sometimes you're where you're at because you haven't dealt with some stuff from your past. Or sometimes it's there are things going on in your life. Like, you might be overly dramatic. You might not self-love enough. Like, there's these things. So you can get the life coaching at any time, Susan. You don't have to wait until you're done with the weight loss basics in order to get it. I just coach on all the things because all the things help us all learn and evolve into being like just who we want to be and happy. Like, that's it. Like, the whole point of life is, like, can we just figure out life so that we can have the most amazing one possible? Doesn't mean every moment's amazing, but the end result will be we had an amazing life because we figured out how to get past all of our bullshit and roll with the punches and keep moving forward. And with that, we are out. Y'all have a good one. I will see you guys, what is it, Wednesday? I'll be in the Facebook group tomorrow for Q&A. So we'll be doing all things Q&A on the future self, all of that kind of good stuff. And I did my 4 stages of weight loss worksheet this morning. I was like, oh my God, I love this worksheet. So I'm going to be sharing it in my journal either tonight or tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.